probably won't have all the answers yet. He hasn't gone. He's just getting ready to go. If you've had a talk with him, he'll be speaking in a number of our churches this week and next. So you'll get acquainted with him. Brother, let me stand up so they'll know. I don't know which tribe you're from. I'm not saying tribe I'm from. All right. Open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is the second epistle that Paul wrote to this young preacher. Picked this fellow up on Titus over around Derby. First missionary trip from the Antioch church. Took him out to Cyprus, up through Cilicia, Pisidia, Phrygia, Galatia, and several of those areas. Over at Derby in the Galatian area, he picked up Timothy, a young man who had a Jew for a mother, a Greek for a father. His mother was very dedicated, according to the record, was his grandmother. And he became a preacher. And he grew up under the personal instruction and guidance of the Apostle Paul. How'd you like to have an opportunity? He spent a few nights in jail, get run out of town, stoned a few times. Not all pieces of training to be a close friend of the Apostle Paul, I tell you. And Timothy matured into a very fine preacher. But 1 and 2 Timothy, as is Titus, are instructions written to these young men by Paul, primarily instructions for preachers. But basically, those instructions are good for any Christian worker who wants to walk close to God. There are a few things in the second chapter of 2 Timothy that I'd like to nail down for you this morning. Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. This is the way it's come to us. Faithful men learn the truth. They teach other faithful men, and those faithful men teach others, and from generation to generation, the truth has been taught. This was the kind of instruction that Israel was given when they left Egypt. They experienced the Passover. The Lord said, now you tell your children and your children's children and your children's children every year when you observe this Passover exactly how it happened and why it happened, so that they will know. And this is the way the truth of the New Testament is given from generation to generation. If you don't teach it, the next generation of creation grows up without it. They will be just as interested and just as well informed as you have the zeal and the persistence to make them. What you've heard, Timothy, is a casual matter. You've heard what I've told you. You've heard it in the presence of many witnesses. Told you the truth. Why are we so concerned about our message? Because it's the truth.
Amen.
It isn't a fable. It isn't something we've made up. It isn't something we've dreamed up. It isn't a script that we're trying out. It's the truth. You tell faithful people about it. Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine. They'll turn again and tear you up. Don't waste your time with some brother who wants to pick an argument with you. I know you boys up and down the corridors expound and get rid of a lot of needless steam in arguments and settle all the matters that the faithful men of the ages have failed to be able to come up with answers to. Fine, that gives you some exercise and theological polemics that probably will help your brain power a little. But When you settle down to the business of the ministry, don't waste your time with people who want to pick a fuss, pick an argument, pick.
Amen.
You talk to people that will listen, that will receive the truth, and give them good instruction. Faithful men. Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Then said again and again, you can't teach what you don't know. That's why you're in school. And you can't teach others until you know the truth. When you know the truth, then you teach it to others, and they'll pass it on the same way. Now, the ministry, unless you are under a misconception, is not a picnic from here to glory. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. How many of you fellows have been in military service, had some military training? Quite a lot of them. You didn't get your training by sitting on the bench and clapping your hands while the rest of them did the drill, did you? They gave you some rough stuff. I know the Marines that said, boy, we had it. The Marines feel like they're a little tougher than anybody else. Maybe they are. But you can't convince the Navy and the Army and the Air Force of that. But in any branch of military service, you enter, they train you to be a hard soldier that can endure under all conditions, because you're going to be facing the enemy. You're going to be facing him under grueling conditions. You go out to fight, you win. You defeat the enemy. In the same manner, Paul said, you endure hardness as a good soldier. This is why I said some of the things that I said to you yesterday. If you don't stick here, you probably won't stick anywhere else. A soldier in training that ducks and runs every time they open the little training fire in his direction was ducking on the battlefield. And the student that goofs off here will goof off in his ministry. You say, well, if I can get by with it, okay. Well, the sad truth is you can't get by with it. Because we're all going to the judgment seat of Christ, and there we're going to give an account of the whole village. Learn to stay by your gun. Doesn't matter how rough it gets, stay with it. Don't give up the ship. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Don't be content to be a mediocre preacher. Give it everything you have. If when you acknowledge the call of God to preach the gospel, I trust surrendered to the ministry, that you really surrender to give your life to it. If it isn't worth your life, it isn't worth a part of it. The greatest calling on earth, we like to brag about sometimes having the greatest calling on earth. Let's live like it's the greatest calling. Let's apply ourselves to it like it's the greatest calling. Endure whatever affliction may come as a good soldier. Now, in verse 4 is a thing that I especially want to emphasize if you don't get anything else. Look at it. No man that walketh entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a good soldier. A fellow that puts on the uniform of his country doesn't go down and drill occasionally. Get out and get into investment business, selling a few sweepers on the side, building a little few homes and handling real estate, a little bit of everything else. Gets so involved that he just doesn't have time except to go down and drill about once or twice a week. That's playing soldier. And this is the reason when Uncle Sam dresses you up the uniform, he expects all of your time. You belong to him when you get out of there. And your business in that uniform is to please the United States government by paying your salary while you were there. He said, they didn't pay you enough to brag about. No, they paid you all you got. They were your living while you were there. They furnished your uniforms, and they furnished your drugs, and they furnished your bed, and they furnished one of those pays you had. You belonged to them. Your time was given to the military. And no man can be a good soldier playing at the job. Don't get involved with everything else in the world. Listen, and if you want to foul your ministry up, you just make it a side line.
Amen.
You get involved with everything else in this world. You see a chance to make money here, and you see a chance to make a reputation there. You take over after this enticing venture and that enticing venture, the first thing you know, you forget about the ministry. It becomes a secondary thing to you. You're going to have to count the doctrine. I know too many preachers that some of my contemporaries, some have come along later, that have great talent. They had good ability. They had a knowledge of the Word. But they got an opportunity to begin to make investments and to get involved in the material world about them, and they did. First thing you know, they either quit preaching or it was a small matter in their life. Their lives were wound around the affairs of this life. Paul wasn't filling space on this when he told this young preacher, you're going to be a good soldier. You're going to be a good preacher. You don't get involved with this material world in which you live. Because your business as a preacher is one thing, to please him who has called you. It doesn't matter whether you please me or not. I like it better if you do. You're not going to have to count for me. It doesn't matter whether you please your community. It doesn't matter whether you necessarily please your government, for that matter. It's concerned. But it does matter if you please God. Now, before you jump to conclusions, I may hasten to say this. You can please God without being a rebel against your community and your government, your church. You don't have to be a speaker to please God. Some of us never learn that. They get the idea that to be faithful to God, and they've got to prove they're independent, they've got to be opposed to everything everybody else is for, and they've got to be constantly against something. You need to be for something, too.
Mm-hmm.
Not going very far. Biblical uses his head to butt everything he comes to, but they don't use him to go away. If they're horses, you might go below. You're just constantly butting everything you come to, working against everything you come to. Not all you develop is a good hard head. You prick in the neck, and you won't accomplish a great deal for God. There is a time when you have to dig in your heels and take a stand when the issue is clear of what is right and what is wrong, and don't be afraid to stand. Paul said, when you've done everything else and there's nothing else you can do, stand. But don't go looking for trouble. Don't be constantly hunting something to be opposed to. Give your people something to live for and something to live by. But give everything you have. I found as a pastor that it took all the time I had and I still didn't have enough time. I hope you young men appreciate what the faculty here at the school are doing for you.
Mm-hmm.
If not for you, they wouldn't be here. Most of them are full-time pastors of churches that can use all of their time and some more. But they give 3 days a week, 2 days a week, most of the day, to come here and dedicate themselves to giving to you the benefit of their experience, the benefit of their learning, that you may be able to go out and pastor a church someday, and that's all you have to do is pastor. God may use some of his faculty members in school somewhere sometime, but most of you will be pastoring churches. You won't have to carry the double load that these men carry to give you the benefit of their experience. They spent a lot of time preparing for you when they're not here. I hope you appreciate that. I hope you have gratitude in your heart for it. And the best way in the world you can prove it is by, when you get out of school, give it the best you have. Use what they've given you. A lot of it seems useless to you now. You sit in class and they're trying to teach a while and you do that. And after a while you get out of the field and say, man, I should have listened to what that was trying to tell me. I learned a lot of things the hard way after I got out of school because I didn't stay alert to what I was trying to be taught while I was in school. Don't assume you don't need anything. You never know where God's going to use you. One thing you do know, your time as a preacher is God's time. Every bit of it. Just don't get involved with other things that will withdraw you and your time from the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A good soldier just doesn't entangle himself with the affairs of this life. I'm talking to you partially from experience. I've gotten into a situation a time or two as I was growing up as a preacher where I was financially hard pressed. Every preacher has that experience most of his life. And I thought I saw opportunities to get involved in some business that would take the pressure off. I sat my conscience by saying, now if I can do this, I'll be able to give more concentration to the Lord's work. It didn't work that way, folks. It just doesn't work that way. The devil's trying to slip you a Mickey Finn, whatever that is. He's trying to get you derailed from the job that God's called you to do. Stay with the book, stay with the word, stay with your ministry. That's what God's called you to do. That's your life from here on out. Just don't let anything else derail you. Now, you want to go to the top. Every preacher wants to be the best preacher he possibly can. If you don't have ambition to go as far as you can in the service of the Lord, then you're short somewhere in your ambition. But Paul says in verse 5, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. And you go for broke. While you're going for broke, remember that there are some regulations under which you run. Any man that's going to the Olympics has to qualify under rules and regulations. And if he breaks those, he doesn't get the medal. Who has lost his medal because he violated the rules. Same is true here. Just strive lawfully. We were driving from Kentucky over to Kansas City a few years ago. Four or five fellows in a car going to a national meeting. Dr. Tulliver was sitting in the back seat, and a man named Sears, Central Sears, was driving pretty good clip, and passed a highway patrol. Oh, these fellas are a nuisance. And it's just natural, whatever speed you're driving, you see that black and white car, you let it a little bit. Just be safe, you know. They drove on a little ways, and after a while, Dr. Tulliver said, Sears, I thought you believed we're under grace. Oh, he said, yes, sir, I sure do. He said, I noticed the law helped a little bit back there. Well, we are under grace, and we give it the best we have, but there are some rules. Play by the rules, don't you? Look, man, If you're tempted to cheat on your test now, you're cheating yourself. You're not cheating.
Amen.
If you cultivate that Adamic ambition to cheat here, you'll keep trying to cheat a little the rest of your life if you're not careful. And it's just not the way to play the game. You don't get the medal unless you play according to the rule. It's better to fail honestly than to make an A dishonest. The grade is not what counts. You want the information. You want the ability to use it. And I've learned a long time ago that you pull a file, look at a man's grade, that doesn't give you a measure of the caliber of the man. I know you thought, how many pages are you going to have tests on tomorrow? You go back and you grind those pages and you get the grade. Next week, you couldn't tell me the answer to half the question. That's not the way to do it. I know you're going to do it. You're going to pick all the fruits. Now, this is the part you're all interested in. I want them to pay me for what I do. Sure. You know how to get them to pay you for what you do? Teach them their responsibility to God with their material needs.
Mm-hmm.
I say, now, you've got to give me so much or I won't do so and so. That's the way the book lays it down. Teach them to love God. And teach them that love for God is manifest by releasing their material means to the service of God. You love your people. You're not just the pastor church, but you love that congregation. You love your people. And teach them the Word of God. Teach them the truth. And you will be able to wire the wool from the sheep and be covered. No, Paul was riding Timothy along here, and he threw your hand in the classroom and kind of wrapped him up and said, wake up. Consider what I say. Look here. Listen to me. Tell you something. And the Lord give thee understanding and all things. You stay alert, but you're going to need some help beside that. As a preacher, you need more than you can get with your own feeble brain. You're going to need the grace of God to help you understand and to help you grow up and mature as a man in the service of God. Now, I want to make one more point here, and you can draw a line to one of this. Remember that Jesus Christ and the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. You get a little nervous sometimes and afraid you're out by yourself, you just remember that. The gospel you are preaching declares that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the thing to worry about. If he can raise the dead, he can take care of you while you're alive. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bones. Look now. But the word of God is not bound. They may put you in jail, but they can't keep the word of God behind the bars.
Amen.
They put John Bunyan in jail. He preached over the wall and converts. They put Paul in prison in Rome. He converted the emperor's crack guard. He changed the man ever so often. He needed to Christ. He put all of them to Christ. He'd like to convert the emperor's household. In fact, they did give him the emperor's household. Claudia and Booze were relatives of the emperor's, and they were saved. And their son became pastor of the church in Rome. How did it all come about? Paul was in prison in Rome, and despite it, not inside the walls, and over the web. They can't bind your message. They may bind you, they may restrain you, but the word of God will not be bound. You've got a message against them. You become convinced of it. You become convinced of the truth of your message, of the importance of your message, and of the fact that it is God's message, and you're on your way. You're on your way. The Lord told Jeremiah, he said, they may get mad at you. They may reject you and reject your message. They may want to kill you. They can't lay a hand on you as long as I'm with you. But there's one other thing he said you better remember. He said, if you don't deliver the word I give to you, I'll turn them loose and I'll get you. I'll confound you in their presence. And if you want to stand and be secure, stay with the word of God.
Amen.
If you want to get into trouble that God doesn't promise to get you out of, you just turn your back.
Amen.